Who's the best show here?
Best show! Best show! Best show! Yeah!
Yeah! The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mind.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
The part where we're supposed to talk over all the time and we never do.
We're going to talk over each other like, you know, like radio people do. Just, you know, just blare over each other. Hi, welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show.
No, oh, God, yeah. That hurt my ears. You have to practice the radio voice a little farther away.
I'm sitting in front of my TV tuner card and watching Spawn at the same time. Spawn is a funny show.
This is serious?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
No, not serious. The actual movie.
Oh, the movie, yeah.
Yeah, it's on FX right now.
It is kind of cheesy.
Yeah, but, you know, it's entertaining cheesy. So we have show is this again today? Which one is it? This is 186.
Seven?
No, 187.
A lot of 180s.
We're in the 180s.
186.
186.
Yeah, 186.
For sure. And we have very, very interesting guests on tonight. For those of you who don't know, four very, very famous people we have on tonight. We have Alan, Pat, Dan, and Link.
The Tech Show crew.
And take it
That's
away.
That's it. It's us. And we got
Hello,
nothing
Cleveland.
To talk about. Show's over.
Yeah, we got nothing to talk about. We should take call-ins if like people want to like call the Tech Show number.
There's plenty of things to talk about.
We ought to. We can listen Pat talk about his new system he got going on over there. What you got going on over there, Pat?
Oh, well, John Johnson from Washington
State. One of our listeners.
Was very nice to donate a spare bare bones box to us, so thank you, John.
Yeah.
You're the man.
Woo-hoo.
We'll put it to good use. So I got...
He'll be storing all of his porn on it.
Yep.
No, I'm not into that. I'm not one of these
his
people that
porn.
Download porn. And so I got better things to do.
No, he makes them and uploads them.
I buy them.
That's really what the man cave was for.
Yeah,
can, everybody needs their own.
You can roll
place.
In different, you know, little scenes in the background and stuff.
You got to have a lot of room down there for all the farm animals.
Well, the computer is, it's very secluded and private, so I have my little S&M corner here.
A little cam show going on down there.
I got the special gimp suit waiting for Alan.
What was that?
The special gimp suit's waiting for you, Alan.
There you
custom
go.
Made.
So, you know, what are you running on that thing over there, Pat?
I got Kubuntu AMD64 Feisty Fawn, and I'm liking
now,
it so
do you
far.
Actually, do you actually install Kubuntu on there, or do you do like I do and install Ubuntu and then just do like the KDE desktop thingy?
I'm doing Kubuntu, man. And I downloaded the Beta 2 ISO, which came out, I think, like two weeks ago or so. And every day there's like a ton of updates that you download, the little notifiers, you know, blinking at you, you know, download, so you download. And it's a lot. They're working pretty hard, the Ubuntu developers and the Kubuntu developers. And every day there's all new packages out there. You know, the whole breadth of the operating system. I'd say it's pretty close to being done. There's like little bugs here and there. Nothing, you know, show-stopping, just little minor annoyances. Like one of the little bugs was if you had like some stuff in your trash folder and you go to empty the trash folder and the icon stays as there's garbage in the trash folder even though you deleted it. So that was one little annoyance. And then another little annoyance was that I got Barrel working on here. And when I first installed it, it was working fantastic. And then there was an update of some the Xorg stuff and a new kernel version, and it stopped working. So then there was some more kernel updates, more Xorg packages. I reinstalled Beryl, and it's working again. So I'm sure everything will be all sorted out by the time the actual releases. You know, if I had to guess, I'd say a week or two down the road, it's probably going to be done.
See, now that's funny because I'm still running at work and here on my main workstation at home, I'm still running Dapper. On my laptop, I'm running Edgy. I haven't even tried Feisty yet. And it's not that far along until it's in full release pretty much, huh?
And I actually picked up a decent video card. I got an NVIDIA 7300 GS. I got it pretty cheap off of Newegg, so I'm enjoying the 3D acceleration and playing some cool games. I was playing around with Tremulous. Did any guys play Tremulous?
Did you get a flat panel monitor yet?
No, I still got my crappy. I still got my crappy CRT. Still works fine. I'll get one eventually. But do any guys play Tremulous?
Nope.
No, never heard of it.
It's a cool game, man.
No
very
games.
Cool
got
game.
Enough time for games over here.
It's sweet. It's a nice game. If any of the listeners have like a server that they host some games on, let me know. Maybe we can have a tech show LAN party or something, or a you know, a team frag fest. You know, we just blow each other away. So I'm liking it. Tremulous is a pretty sweet game, man.
Tremulous. I've never heard of it before. Often.
Yeah, check
something,
it out.
Something.
What's the address for it?
I have no idea.
Hey, look at that.
It's in the repo. Oh, poor Dave, man. Dave cracked up his car, man. And he wasn't podcasting.
Just me?
What did he?
You know,
we gotta
get him on the air. We don't have to grill him about that, man.
Yeah, he didn't get hurt, thank God. So
yeah, that's good there.
Yeah, but car accidents suck, man. Especially car accidents involving tractor trailer trucks. They usually end in bad situations. It's not good. So how you guys been this week?
We can have that. Damn
working
busy.
Too much. Working
busy
too much.
Work?
Busy. It's busy with everything, man.
All the sickness is going around because of the weather going up and down
every
day.
Oh, yeah, man.
One day it's sunny and 70, and the next day it's like 40 degrees.
You know what it is with me? Like, it's just starting to warm up, and everything's starting to grow again, and my allergies have been freaking killing me. I don't know what the hell it is about Pennsylvania, but, like, Pennsylvania must have every damn kind of pollen in the whole freaking world.
I get it worse in the fall, like September.
It's horrible. Like, I wake up in the morning and, you know, my nose starts running and doesn't stop, period.
Yeah, allergies suck. I get allergies. Not in the spring so much, more in the fall.
I take shift work, but I forget what the name of it is that I take.
One of those stupid pharmaceutical commercials that you have no idea what the hell they're selling?
No, I think
it's like some chick running through like a meadow and shit and flying a kite. It's like, what is that?
Oh, I have no clue, but I guess I've been taking this stuff for so long. I know that it's like every 6 months the doctor gives me just another thing for it, and I just go get another 3 or 4 months worth of it. So,
are there any strange side effects like oily discharge or, you know, bleeding?
I love listening to those things. It's like, you know, why would you even want to take this thing? If, you know, it's like all the bad things that could possibly happen to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really don't want to know what happens if I take this shit.
No,
and I especially don't
want
to know that it's going to make me shit all freaking day.
Yeah, you see this? You see the medicine on the TV, right? It's some medicine for a headache or some shit, right? So
yeah, diarrhea.
If you take the medicine for a headache, it gives you diarrhea, vomiting, and abdominal cramps.
Like,
why the hell?
I just keep the headache, you know.
Like, I can do that on my own. I really don't need to have like to pay for that experience.
You know, may cause kidney failure or something like that.
What the hell?
Yeah,
the oily discharge doesn't work. Hey, speaking of kidneys, actually, if you take that cholesterol medicine. Supposedly, certain people, it affects their livers. If, you know, the liver starts breaking down, they have to go get checked out every so often.
Well, yeah, there are certain ones out there that they actually do blood tests on you on a regular basis to make sure that...
Oh, yeah, so you have low blood cholesterol, but you can't, you know, your body doesn't function because your liver dies.
Your liver explodes, yeah.
Yeah. But in some cases, you have to take that. But they monitor you really closely with that shit. Or at least a good doctor will, I should say. Whether or not all of them do, I don't know, but...
Yeah, so I got my new MythBox put together. I got the hardware in there. I did the base system install, but I didn't actually get around to tweaking and configuring MythTV yet. So I got it started. I'm actually pretty psyched to get it going, so...
So does this mean that you're just about ready to start taking requests to record different series for people, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to serve out for the whole neighborhood.
Yeah,
I'm going to have the data repository for Easton.
Yeah, you can just...
Well, there's a guy up in Canada that does that.
The guy up in Canada's got like 30 servers recording every show on every channel all the time.
We'll just send you an email, like, you know, make sure you record, record Mythbusters for us or something like that, and you can do it, and we'll just stick them on a server somewhere, and, you know, we can get them.
You just have to give us all an account on it. Then you can just use the web browser and browse into it.
Yeah, there you go.
I actually do that from work on it. Yeah, I do the...
No problem.
Mine over for the Nokia. And I find that actually works really, really well if you stream it into VLC at work.
Oh, yeah?
It's not really, really bandwidth intensive at that point. Like, I haven't really tried streaming the full TV versions on the unencoded stuff.
Do you get audio drift at all?
No, it works really well. And that's even coming off of the cable box here. It's hilarious because there are times our internet system at work tends to suck at times on it. That's putting it very nicely. And, you know, you can't even get to, like, Google on it. And yet I've got, you know, the address for the house here is hard-coded. I never bothered to get an official name or anything. So I just type in the IP address on here, fire right into it, and when nobody else can get on the internet, I'm streaming TV back over it.
So that's you, huh?
But it works really well.
Nice.
That's you. You're the guy.
Listen, guys, I got a story I want to share with you, right? One of the things, like I said, I've been really, really busy this week. One of the things that popped up this week that I had to go do real quick yesterday was 2 days ago, right before I went to bed, my daughter came running out to me and handed me her iPod. She got an iPod, a Nano, the little ones with the screens, right?
Mm-hmm.
iPod Nano that my parents got her for Christmas. And, of course, like, here we are going to my parents' house this weekend. So, anyway... She gives me her Nano, and the screen's all cracked and shit, you know? But the outside of the Nano is in perfect condition, like all the way around. It's not scratch on the damn thing anywhere. She says, I don't know what happened to it, but the screen's all cracked. And I said, well, you know, I'll call Apple at work. Well, the first thing I told her was, you know, what'd you do to it, you know? But we went around and around with that, and she said she didn't do anything. I said that I would, you know, call Apple up when I got to work and see if we could, you know, get it fixed or something, or if it was still under warranty. I didn't even know, you know. So my first time with having to deal with Apple customer support, I guess, or technical support. And I called them up, and the person I talked to said that, oh, well, yeah, that if there's no signs of damage on it, that the technician might well, you know, just want to replace it or whatever. And, you know, I was great with that. And I said, you know, can I get it done locally or do I have to send it in? She said, you can get it done locally. And there's a little store called DoubleClick here in Bethlehem that's an Apple-authorized reseller. And they said I could take it there or I could take it to the next closest actual Apple store, which is in King of Prussia Mall. So I said, great, thanks. And they gave me this little ticket confirmation number thing. And I went to DoubleClick. Or I called DoubleClick and asked them if they could replace it, if they had any iPods and stuff like that. And they said no, in fact, that they cannot replace it, and that the Apple technicians have on many occasions given out incorrect information, but that they are not allowed to fix or replace any iPod Nanos there at that particular store. So that kind of irritated me a little bit. And... I figured, all right, what the hell? I'll just make the run to King of Prussia right after work. It's like being a 45-minute drive or something like that. And
I know where this is
so
going.
So I did. Right. Well, first of all, I called King of Prussia to make sure that I could take this over there, right? Like, they're not bullshitting me and they can actually do something. And they said, oh, yeah, you come in there, but you need to make some kind of an appointment, right?
A genius bar appointment.
It's exactly what I have no idea, right? You have to make an appointment with the guru or what the hell do they call him?
The genius bar. Yeah.
You have to make an appointment with a genius at the genius bar. Well, how the hell do you do that? Well, you have to go to Apple's website and go through all this rigmarole and you make this little appointment thing. You know, it's not that big a deal, but I thought that's kind of, you know, it's kind of odd for make a appointment for tech support like that.
You
but
make
anyway,
the appointment at 8 and you get an appointment 8 hours later.
So I made the appointment and I drove all the way the hell out there, and I get in there to this genius bar. I walk up and I'm waiting around, and you know the genius bar thing is pretty cool because like in back of them they have these giant dual flat screen LCD monitors mounted in the wall, right? And they have your name on there scrolling up, like you know what order you're going to be helped in, and little ads and shit like that. And it's pretty neat. And so I was walking around a little bit in the store looking at all this stuff that's way, way overpriced. You know, headphones for $85, that kind of stuff. Earbuds for $85. And I'm looking at stuff. And then finally, they decide to help me. And this is where it gets really funny, right? This is where I want all you guys' opinion. The person in line right before me was in there getting her iBook fixed, okay? And apparently, the problem with her iBook, it wouldn't boot anymore because her hard drive had died. And she's asking, first of all, she instead of getting it fixed, she just, like, wants to buy another iBook, okay? So they start talking about, like, what kind of iBook do you want? And she says, well, I want the black one. Has no concept of any difference in processor speed or anything. She just, I want the black one because it's
black
the black one.
One.
That's, I want the black one.
I wanted the black one.
So, you know, I was kind of snickering at that. She, you know, she could care less. The guy's trying to explain, you know, well, the difference in this is this, and the, I don't care. I just want the black one. Okay. So she gets the black one. And then she's starting to ask questions about, you know, making sure that the hard drive doesn't die on this one. You know, what happened? Well, we need, the technician's going, well, we don't know. First of all, the technician, good God, the one she was talking to was the biggest hillbilly I've ever heard in my entire life. But anyway, she's talking to this guy, and he says, you know, this is King of Prussia, for crying out loud. You don't expect to find, like, hillbillies there. Anyway, I guess he left his, you know, his skull and his cowboy hat at home, because I didn't know
was a guy with black hair, like sort of spiky black hair.
No, this was a short guy, hardly any hair.
No, because they have one that, because you're talking about hillbilly. I've gone down there before, and they like on Saturdays they always have, you know, like they have these little, like I don't know, like show off type things. And there's always one guy down there playing guitar and showing off garage bands.
Oh.
And I was thinking that's the one you were talking about there.
No, this guy's a piece of work, man. But so I'm listening to him talk to her about this hard drive issue, and the first thing he pulls out of his hat was, do you let your laptop run when you're not using it? You know, and she said, well, yeah, you know, if I have to get up and walk away from it for a while or whatever, I'll let it run. I'll let it run, you know, if I'm doing something else, whatever. And he said, no, you can't do that. if you get up and leave your laptop and walk away, you must shut it off. And, you know, I'm listening to this stuff, I'm flabbergasted, you know.
So my question is, are clueless Apple users as clueless as clueless Windows users?
Apparently so. Well, this woman, you know, this woman was a typical computer user. She had no concept of any...
Where the power
anything about
is,
the computer at all. All she cared about was, like, she got this new MacBook, she wanted the black one because she likes the way that one looked. And she wanted to know what she could do to make sure that it didn't break again. And the guy was telling her to make sure she turned it off because, you know, if you leave it on, it's going to break the hard drive again. Yeah, it's going to break the hard drive again. And, you know, they went on about this for, good Lord, it had to be 15, 20 minutes, right, about how, well, you know, she said, well, what about, you know, you can put it in suspend or whatever, or if you just close it down, will it stop? And the guy was saying, no, that puts it to sleep, but you don't want to put it to sleep. You want to shut it off if you leave the laptop for any amount of time. All right, and I sat there, but the perfect gentleman, I sat there the whole time. I didn't smirk. I didn't, you know, through my nose or anything like that, even though I really wanted to. But, I held it until after I was out of the store, and then I turned to my wife, and I said, this woman just spent $3,000 on a laptop. And these days, like, a laptop is not just a laptop. It's a desktop replacement, right? People get a laptop, that's the only thing they have.
She's going to do email and browse the internet.
So she spent $3,000 on this computer, a $3,000 laptop. And they're telling her she can't leave the fucking thing on when she goes to take a piss. Now, if you make a laptop that's that piece of shit cheap that you have to shut it off so the hard drive doesn't explode while you're pissing, then apparently you are buying the wrong laptop. You know what I mean? Because, like, my $500 laptop,
it
just kills me. My $500 laptop that I have, I leave the damn thing running all day long. You know what I mean? I use it at work to program. If I'm not actively programming on it, it's just sitting there. I'm not afraid of the hard drive, you know, spinning out and flying out of the damn case. It just, it's absolutely incredible. And like, the advice that these freaking, you know, these tards are just giving her, it just absolutely floored me. I can't believe that you spend that much money on a laptop and they tell you can't use the damn thing. It just killed me, you know. And then, but, you know, not only was that, but I'm getting this iPod Nano replaced. And they're giving me all of this. The guy that I'm talking to is talking to me like I'm a fourth grader. Now, granted, I didn't give him a lot of indication that I was technically inclined whatsoever, so he's probably assuming I'm the same kind of nerd that walks in there like the lady
to deal with all day long.
Yeah. And so he's talking to me like I'm, you know, 10 years old or something like that. You know, you got to be careful, and, you know, this looks like this was some kind of impact damage. And I said, well, you know, that was my first indication, too, my first thought, too, except for there's no scratches or anything on the case. You know what I mean? So, but they did end up replacing that, and I just thought, my personal opinion, my wife didn't think this, but my personal opinion was that the guy was a little bit condescending. It might just have been me. But it might have been, you know, a lot of that might also have been my opinion that was generated after hearing them tell these.
I was going to say, yeah, because you listened to
turn
what
her freaking laptop off.
You know what? I must interject here for a minute because I've listened to you shoot your mouth off for too long, and the problem here is you don't understand. Hardware is meant to be used, and if the operating system isn't constantly spinning up that disk and using every bit of that hardware to its fullest potential 100% of the time. What good is having the hardware?
There you go.
That's why you need to turn it off. Everybody needs a rest.
So you can have it when you need it.
That's right.
I just, you know, to me it was like the Windows thing creeping over into Apple land. Where, like, you know, they want you to secretly they want you to turn your Windows box off when you're not using it because, you know, when you turn it back on, that's like a reboot. They're just hiding it from you, you know?
Well, face it, dude.
You don't have to reboot it. You just turn it on only when you want to use it, right?
The memo came down from on high. They are slowly transitioning Apple users over to Vista on Apple hardware.
I can't believe that you spent $3,000 on a computer and they tell you can't turn the fucking thing on, you know? Oh, no. If you're not typing on it, shut it off. That's crazy, you know?
You know what? If you can't be a proper typist,
for a laptop anyway.
If you can't be a proper typist, then you need voice recognition software because you're not using the keyboard to its fullest potential. And if you're not talking into your system and is using voice recognition, you need to shut it off.
Yep.
Listen, man, no you're paying for the privilege of having an Apple as being one of the elite Apple owners and users. That's what you're paying for.
But I'm already an elite Apple owner and user. That doesn't mean I have to get ripped off by them.
No, you are an Apple poser because you're not actually...
I'm a poser because I own a nice Mac Mini, but it's sitting behind me turned off, right?
Yes.
And I'm on my Ubuntu box. So I'm just a poser. But I just thought that was so fun. I mean, I do have to admit, like, right, I was in there and I walked around and I looked at this stuff, and Apple has some absolutely beautiful equipment, right? I love the design of their laptops and stuff. They're really nice looking. I love these, what was it, like 23-inch cinema display that they had going on over there. Yeah. Dude, I could deal with four or five of them on my desk. That would be totally cool.
Come on, man. For $3,000, that can be yours.
Sure. And you know, I always wanted a G5. I really dig the G5s. Someday, maybe, when it's old shit technology, I'll finally get one. But,
I just
can't believe
maybe
the prices on this stuff. Yeah, right, I can find the case, right?
Yeah, well,
$900
for
a case.
Well, you get the case, and then you can put what you want inside of it.
I can put my Mac Mini inside it, right?
Exactly. No one will know.
Mm-hmm. But it was just incredible. It was a fun experience, like, to see how the other half lives kind of thing. It was pretty fun. But you know, here's the thing, right? This is the killer observation about the Mac geniuses. You go in there and
they're not.
you know how the media and Microsoft and stuff like that is portraying Linux geeks as being like uber geeky, kind of stinky backroom, funky looking computer guys, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, this is exactly the geniuses at the Mac bar, okay? They are exactly that. The only difference between that stereotype... The only difference between that stereotype for Linux and the Mac geniuses are that the Mac geniuses are wearing black T-shirts that say genius on them. That is the only difference. The only... You know... They changed the shirt from, like, some kind of plaid hunting shirt to a black T-shirt that says genius. And that's it. They're just like that. It really was funny, though.
Cool.
Anyone?
Sounds like a little bit of sour grapes, Link.
I talked too long. You guys are sleeping. No. It was a fun, you know, it was a fun adventure. I got to go in there and check all of this stuff out, but it was interesting to me how they sort of handled things in the store, because this is my first foray into any sort of Apple support whatsoever. And I really found it interesting. I was just flabbergasted that they told this chick, you know, that she spent all this money on this laptop and she couldn't use it though. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, a $3,000 laptop, that some bitch ought to drive you to work. Not only should you be able to use it all day long, all night long, 24/7, 365, the damn thing should have like nuclear batteries or something. You should never have to plug it in, as far as I'm concerned. But
what the hell did you get it for $3,000? Because Chris, I know damn well I didn't pay that for mine. Unless you brought like a MacBook Pro.
I that might have been what it was. I really wasn't paying attention to what she picked out. All I know is she's saying the black one, you know. I want the black one. Blah, blah, blah,
black
blah,
one is a MacBook.
Something. And I really wasn't paying that much attention until they started bantering back and forth about the, you have to turn it off when you're not using it. And that instantly caught my attention because I thought that was the biggest line of shit I ever heard in my life. I wanted so bad to tell them that my Linux box only costs $500 and it runs all fucking day long, but I held it, you know. It was really tough on me, too. You guys should be proud.
Should have went off on them.
Oh, I didn't want to get... I was next in line. I didn't want to get kicked out before I got my daughter her new iPod, you know.
It's not like a restaurant where you complain and then they piss in your food.
You have to tell your daughter not to sit down with the Nano in her pocket again.
Right. Well, see, now that's the thing. It was a refurb Nano. And she said she didn't do anything to it, but she had it sitting on her desk underneath her lamp. Like, the lamp was shining on it, not the lamp was sitting on top of it. The lamp was shining on it for, like, the last couple of days, and she just looked down and it was cracked. The only thing I can think of is if she did not actually do it herself, was that possibly when they, you know, when they refurbed this thing, maybe they put a new screen in it and it had some kind of weird thing with the glue, it expanded or something.
That's possible,
and
yeah.
Under the heat of the lamp and cracked the screen. I don't know, because like I said, other than that cracked screen, there's not a scratch on the damn thing, so.
Yeah, because mine is, you know, banging around in the car. I put it in the, Sorry about that.
Somebody's disc is burnt.
Yeah. My disc is done. But, no, mine bangs around on the bike and everything, and Yeah, knock on wood, I haven't had any problems with mine yet.
Yeah?
That was my not missed DVD being, or CD being burned.
Nice.
Figure it's time to upgrade to the latest version.
So you guys have your Vista systems patched? The latest NAI exploit? Which affects actually all versions of Windows. Have you seen this?
No.
No.
So don't pay attention.
It's some vulnerability where animated cursor files, .ani files, allows an attacker to take over the system completely. So Microsoft actually issued a patch for it. And at some conference in Amsterdam, a couple of developers showed a program called VB Bootkit that launches from a CD and they can make changes to Vista on the fly in memory.
Oh, yeah, it gets by without the signing and stuff.
Exactly. So, you know.
I saw that today.
The most secure Windows version, it ain't that secure.
You're just jealous.
Well, the most secure Windows version in the world, you know, requires daily patching anyway, so.
Well, what I don't understand is how does Microsoft still, you know, with a straight face tell us that, you know, sales are going great for Vista, they're happy, blah, blah, blah. And then I just read this Harris poll where they said that 87% of people that were aware of Vista weren't going to upgrade, only 12% were going to upgrade. How can they say that's good? I don't understand. Is the user base just bigger now that they care if they get, you know, those people upgrading?
Well, their only upgrade path is the fact that they're making people buy new computers. And it's on every new computer.
That's the only one I could think of.
Couldn't see. I mean, I've used Vista at work. I was playing around with it right the day that it came out. We had a copy on, and I didn't see anything, you know, that would make me want to have to use. You know, if I was a user of it every day, I didn't see anything that made me want to use it. You know, XP for the two things that I use it for at work were perfectly fine for me.
Yes, I think we're all in agreement. The only place where Windows has its place is in a virtual machine running in Linux. That's about it.
Well, I prefer it in a garbage can myself, but...
Well, yep. if you have to run Windows, that's the place for it.
If you have to run Windows, you need to keep your computer shut off then. Find something else to do.
Pull out the cord out of the Ethernet cord.
Running under VMware or Parallels or something like that where you can keep a quick hard copy in.
Stop using a computer and get a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Or a Wii. If you can find a Wii. Good luck.
Wii! That's always been my argument. Everybody comes and says, well, you know, I don't want to use Linux because I have all my games on Windows and I can, you know, I play my games on Windows and my whole thing is like, you know, go buy a freaking PlayStation, you weenie ass, you know?
Hell,
or Wii.
Even buy an Xbox, I don't care.
There you go. Xbox. I can even deal with that. Xbox, PlayStation, get a Wii.
And put Linux on it.
Something. Yeah, you know, really, because that's much more attractive to me, buying an Xbox from Microsoft and then putting Linux on it, than it is buying a computer from somebody else and ending up having Microsoft, even though you don't want it.
Xboxes make nice MIPTV front ends.
They do, yes.
I don't know. I think if you want to play games, you ought to buy a game console. That's what I think.
Well, when I finally stuck my nose into what's been going on in the world the past couple of days, I see that Microsoft is being dragged into court on another lawsuit because of their overestimation of the ability for PCs to run Windows Vista through their upgrade program.
Yeah. Well, because they're telling everybody that, you know, their computer will run Windows Vista, but what they're not telling them is it's this shitty home edition thingy.
Yeah, it just won't run all the neat stuff that they're advertising.
Or it'll run it really, really slow.
You need like a 2 gigahertz dual core processor with like 2 gig of RAM and like the latest and greatest NVIDIA card with Theory acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can fire up an email client.
Yeah, right. Turn it on, let it boot for 45 minutes, and maybe you can open a browser. Maybe.
Is it an email client or is it the virus-catching client?
The virus-catching client.
Internet Exploder.
The front door. The front door's open, so's the back.
Come on in.
And the basement way. There's windows here, but they're all broken. It's like that abandoned warehouse that sits in the corner of the city that nobody wants to go near, and one window gets broken, and then, you know, a couple days later,
they all get broken,
and then there's junkies living in there, shooting up.
Yeah, it's infested by junkies shooting up, yeah.
Homeless people, and you know.
I bet it's a lot like that, only the difference is with Windows on your computer, all of that happens in a matter of 14, 15 minutes.
There's prostitutes and pimps and dead bodies.
15 minutes and you're full of intravenous drug users.
It's like that skit that Dave Chappelle did. You remember that one, Dan? Where you know, he's on the internet and, hi, I'm Windows.
Yeah. Yeah. If the internet was like of the mall, was that the mall?
Yeah, the mall.
Yeah.
Guy kept coming up to him asking if he wanted to see naked pictures of, like, Britney Spears.
Yeah. And then eventually the building gets knocked down and you start on the next one. You got to rebuild it and the next one goes down. Yeah. And meanwhile, there's the over-expensive section of town where all the Macophiles live. And it's nice, but...
Macophile.
It's all dysfunctional on the inside, but it looks pretty on the outside.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that when I was over there, too. The Macophiles at the Apple Store... Everybody's got that, like, artsy-fartsy thing going on, you know.
I'm a graphic artist.
How did you get through the fog of smug?
The hell with nose.
No, they're like, all artsy-fartsy, but, like, you know, there's a few of them in there that are artsy-fartsy but need a shower kind of thing, you know.
Did you see that airport base station that looks like a humongous butt plug?
No, I've seen that on the web before, but they didn't have any to store. All they had was the ones that looked like, looked like a little wedge of the Mac Mini kind of thing. The giant bulb.
Are you talking the airport thing or that speaker that they sell that looks like the giant butt plug?
Oh, is that a speaker? I thought it was an airport.
No, that's a speaker, I think. I forget who makes it.
Dan would come up with, like, the giant butt plug computer part, you know?
I think he's the only one out of us that knows what one looks like.
Yeah, it looks just like a giant butt plug.
Pat don't know what it looks like, but he knows what it feels like.
Oh! Never seen one!
It's hard to look behind.
He's just not that flexible, that's all.
One other thing on Feisty Fawn is Java is a pleasure to use now. Integration is a lot better, man. It's all in the repos and installs really well. You install Eclipse, which I use to do programming and stuff, and it finds, you know, all the Java libraries right away. You know, it used to be where if you did like a manual install of Java from the Sun packages, you know, manually installed them, and you would install Eclipse, that it wouldn't find it sometimes. You would have to go in and create some symbolic link of the libraries where they're actually residing. But now, you know, because, you know, Java is free software, GPL, everything, smooth as silk, man. It works fantastic.
Awesome. What else is different between, you know, because I haven't even seen Feisty Vet. What's different between Feisty and
Well, I know in Ubuntu, they have what's called the proprietary codec. It's like a little application that you can go and install, like, you know, 3D drivers for, like, NVIDIA
and ATI.
That
normally doesn't get installed.
Does that interact
exactly,
at all?
Exactly.
Does that interact at all with Fluendo codec?
I have no idea. You see, I'm not running Ubuntu. I'm running Kubuntu, and it's not in there by default.
Oh.
But that's on there. I saw some blog posting where the guy lists, you know, some of the things that are in there by default. I mean, AIGLX is still in there, obviously. Barrel's part of the official repositories now. What else? Network Manager is now, like, you know, the default app. It fires up by default. But my laptop still doesn't like the Network Manager, so it's okay. That's because I have a crappy wireless card. I'm sure it works fantastic on a real wireless card. Have you guys used that Network Manager in Ubuntu?
Yeah, I use it all the time on my System 76.
Because you got a nice system, so it probably works fantastic.
No, I haven't.
It works great.
I haven't even touched it yet. Everybody keeps telling me to install it on there, but really the only thing that I have to do wherever I am when I use my wireless card is just, you know, I just do a DHCP CD kind of thing, or a DH client, and point it at my wireless card and it goes. So. I probably should put it on there. One of the things that I noticed that I thought was, well, for me it's odd. When I first did the Edgy install on my laptop, is that all of my network devices showed up, and it was like grabbing, you know, it's grabbing addresses for everything all at the same time. So I would have, like, my wireless card would have an address, and my, you know, my wired Ethernet would have an address and everything like that. And I was kind of concerned that, you know, like, which address was going where with the routes and stuff like that. So I just disabled my wireless from the DHCP, and it just doesn't pull an address until I want it to. But now I suppose that if I put this Network Manager app on there, I could do it through that, right? Is that the deal? I could just go in there and shut it off or turn it on.
Yeah.
Oh, the other... Did
what do you use? Wait, is it natively supported by the kernel?
My network card?
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's a module or...
See, I don't know how well the Network Manager works with, like, NDIS wrapper or any of the other ones you might be using?
No, I don't think this is NDIS wrapper. So it's either module or it's right in the kernel.
If your card works on boot, it should be able to be managed by Network Manager, I think. I would assume. I'm talking out my ass. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is when I bring up Network Manager, I got like 15 wireless networks in my area. And one of them is called Dirty Sanchez. I don't want to know what's going on.
Does it automatically connect to one of them? When you boot your laptop up, does it automatically connect to a network?
Yes, and unfortunately, some of the time it's not the one I want it to connect to. It seems to like to default to this Linksys one that's on default, which one day I should probably...
That's what I'm trying to...
There's like six of those.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to avoid here. I don't want my wireless to automatically connect to a network. I want it to ask me first.
I would assume that what it does is it finds the first one on probably a predefined channel. Because the strongest one is always the one that I have, but it seems to prefer to go to the Linksys one, which I suspect is on a different channel than what I run it on. And I don't see a way in here to tell it which one to set to default or to not connect automatically. I don't see a way to manage it.
Gorkon's saying you can configure it that way. And I'll have to take a look at it.
I'm curious to find out where you can.
I was looking for.
I wonder where you actually connect. Configure it.
Tell
it
like a preference or something. Your preferred network.
It's a good question.
That was my big bone of contention. I'd love to have, like a nice network manager, kind of like the Nokias have. For those of you who have Nokias, like 700s or N800s. They have this great little network manager utility on there. I would love to have that on my laptop, but unfortunately, like I said, what my laptop does is it just grabs the first available network on the wireless and connects to it, and I don't want it to do that. I want to be able to tell it to connect to my wireless network, and I only want to use it when I want to use it. Most of the time I use a wired network at work and stuff like that because I keep the wireless network shut off. Or, because it's another point of access that I don't need to have to contend with. But, yeah, that's what I think.
Also in Feisty, Distrokosha version 0.20 is in there in the repo, so you can download it. You don't have to do any funky updates of GStream or anything like that. It's in there by default, so all you got to do is apt-get install, and you're on your way.
The Age of Kosher. Have you been playing around with it?
Not really. I did install Kina 1.0. I went on the Kina website, and I followed Dan Dennity's explanation, because none of the repositories have the latest and greatest version of it, so I just went and installed it myself, and I followed his little how-to that he has on the website, and compiled without any problems. Works great. I'm playing around with it. It's nice. Seems a little more stable. I think he went and did a bunch of bug fixes, so seems pretty nice. So more good stuff from Dan.
And that's Dan, not me. Dan Dennity.
Dan Dennity.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, have you tried Tremulous? Do you play that at all?
I tried it a couple months ago.
What do you think?
It was pretty interesting. Tremulous is the one built off the Quake 3 engine, right? Where you are either humans or aliens.
Or aliens. Yep.
And you start off as like this grub alien until you, I guess, get a lot of, you can build yourself up into a bigger alien. And then you can have, engineers or infantry for the human side. When I played, I got my ass handed to me.
Oh, yeah. You jump on the server and as soon as you get material, it's just somebody standing there blowing you away.
Yeah, so.
You get blown to pieces every time you materialize.
That's the problem with playing those kind of games, that if you don't actually, play a lot of them and get really good at it, you get your ass handed to you too quickly. From that person that has their keyboard all set up and can flip around and jump over to all over the place and has the mouse perfectly tweaked so that they just, with the flick of a wrist and a tap of a button, your head's blown off.
We should get a LAN party game with that. That would be cool. If someone can host a server of that, that would be really awesome.
I don't know. That would take me away from Warcraft, and then I get the shakes.
So, how many hours a day do you spend on that?
Not as many as you'd think, actually. But when you start playing it, it sucks you right in. It's a lot more fun when you end up playing with other people, though. When you get into
people
a group
that you actually know?
You know or don't know. I mean, some of the best times I had were somebody runs by and they're like, hey, you want a group? And you group with them, and you start doing one thing, and then you're doing another thing, and you're running all over the place, and, teaming up against guys that are like three or four levels ahead above you. You get into a groove on how to just annihilate your opponent, and it's fun, a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
What was the name of that tank battle game we used to play?
BZ Flag.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Man, that's been a long time for that. We ought to get a thing going for that again.
That is fun. We played BZ Flag after work hours a couple, about, what was it, last year. And I got so out of practice from when I was really playing it a long time ago. And I played against somebody who had played for, you know, who would play a lot more than I would. I'd get my butt handed to me left and right. It wasn't fun.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, there's a bunch of LAN games that are pretty fun. Isn't there a version, a multiplayer version of like NetHack or something?
I think there is,
Oh, wait, that's WoW. Sorry. Oy, oy, oy. What else is new in the news?
Well, I talked about the Windows exploits.
What is new in the Linux world?
Feisty Fawn's coming out soon.
They had to push that back a week, didn't they?
Not that I know of.
Shows what I know. Feisty Fawn. We got an email today that I didn't know how to answer. I think, Link, you provided an answer. I'll read the email.
Not much of one.
Yeah, I'll read the email. I don't know. Okay. It's question on small Linux console devices. I have heard you reference the Nokia and the GP2X devices and want to ask a question. I would like to find a unit that would run a distro with a graphical desktop environment and have a line-in audio input. I would like to be able to receive weather satellite images in the bush using WX to IMG and an outboard receiver slash scanner in the field. Then I would like to display them on the device. He provides a link, WXTOIMG.com. The data file created would be about 10 meg for each image. Do you know of any of these portable units that can offer this? Thanks, Jeff. A laptop, maybe. But I don't think
that's what I was thinking. But not anything smaller than that. Because, and you know, I'm thinking to myself, first of all, he really should have wrote and asked Dave Yates this, because this is like right up Dave Yates. Dave, you're listening. You got to answer this, man. It's right up your alley with the weather software. But these images that he's talking about, these are big, serious, you know, to do high-res satellite images. And he's talking about like a 10-meg image. And I can't imagine trying to look at a 10-meg image on the Nokia. I mean, I think I probably could open one up, but it only, what is it, 200 or 400 by 280 or something like that? Well, you're only looking at just a little tiny portion of it. And I don't know about the GP2X at all, what the resolution is.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think the GP2X is your device, because first and foremost, you're not going to be connecting to any receiver and scanner with the GP2X. Maybe if you got that breakout board for it, but that would be kind of unwieldy to actually attempt to use in the field. I'm...
Yeah, man. You know, the only thing I could think of was a laptop. He might be able to do something like that with an extra piece of equipment and a Nokia if he were to you know, somehow shrink the image down a whole lot.
Or you'd have to dump it right to the SD flash card on. Or does it take SD flash cards?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to dump it to that right away. Yeah. I don't know how good the resolution... How's the image viewer on that? Can you do zoom and everything?
Yeah, you can.
So, I mean, you could always zoom in on and see better resolution, but you wouldn't be able to see the whole thing at such a high quality.
Yeah, I don't think that it'd be practical yet on any smaller computing platform. Laptop would be about the smallest I would go, I think, with something. Yeah, images, you're looking at that big of an image. I don't think so.
I'm debating whether to download that software. debating on whether to download that just to give it a try.
Do it up, man. You can be the guinea pig.
Well, because I got the scanner and everything here.
We can just call up Dave Yates, and he probably has used it already. He probably uses it already.
Currently. Look at you with the Dave Yates. Well, look at you with the Dave Yates love all the time.
Well, no, because it's a weather, it's like a weather software question. And, you know, I know that Dave Yates has used every piece of weather software that has ever been written on any platform. Just ask him. He is the all-time expert.
You know, you got weather software fetish?
Yeah.
Speaking of Dave Yates, I haven't...
He's a huge weather fetish thing going on over there.
I haven't seen a Linux Action...
So that's why I think that, you know, we should get him to answer the question.
I haven't seen a lot of Linux Links show in a little while.
I got into a car accident.
Oh, we did? Doing it?
I don't think he was podcasting when it happened.
He's okay, right?
He was just... Yeah, he's okay. He posted on his forum about it.
Why don't we just get him on the damn show?
Give him a call.
He's on the chat now. Give him a call. Somebody give him a call. I don't have his number. You got his number, right, Pat? Call his ass up. Get him.
Pat's got his number on speed dial for a good time call. 1-800-DAVE-YATES.
He says, hey, baby, this is Pat again.
Well, Pat, aren't you supposed to be doing the show? We can't talk like this now.
Dave answers and says, Pat, you're not supposed to call me on this number. My wife's getting suspicious.
Come on, Link. You know you're the only one.
Well, I try, but, you know.
That awkward silence.
Yeah, we need, like, you know, sound effects that we can put in the dead spots here.
Are you guys running out to go install iTunes via Wine so that you can download DRM free music now?
Through Wine, you can install it?
I think you can.
I've always heard.
I don't need to do that because I have iTunes on my Macintosh. I could.
There you go. You're an Apple user.
Get the stuff that way. But. I've only downloaded and paid for one song through iTunes, and that was a song that my wife wanted. And I will never do it for myself because what a hassle. Like, you pay him the 99 cents or whatever, you download the damn song, and then in order for me to actually get it and put it on my music server, you have to take that song and burn it to a CD, and then you gotta rip the damn thing on another computer. That's such a giant pain in the ass.
I think they're priced,
aren't they? $1.29.
What's that?
These DRM
DRM free ones? Yeah.
They're more money. They're supposed to be a higher bit rate.
Like $1.30 or something.
It's just a scheme to get people to spend more money. That's all.
Absolutely. Absolutely, but you know what? As far as that goes, as long as it gets people away from DRM, I'm happy with it.
You know what? The wife uses has found a service to replace all of MP3.com called MP3 Sugar that supposedly provides the same kind of service that all of MP3.com provided. Not that we recommend you use that, because... That's a little shady on the ethical side, but if you're looking for non-DRM commercial music, you might be able to get that at a cheap, you know, at a decent price. If you want to,
MP3 Sugar.
Yes, MP3Sugar.com.
Where's that out of?
I don't know. Probably Russia.
Like a Russian site or something.
Well, let me look.
Find out. MP3Sugar.com.
Moscow.
Moscow, yep, a Russian site.
Is that a Pat's back?
Rasputina Street.
Yep, they got some big artists on there. They got everything. Beatles, Sonora Jones, Gwen Stefani, Justin Timberlake, oh boy.
And they take MasterCard and Visa.
So basically it's the other service and they just changed the homepage, right?
Yep, exactly. They're on a different server now.
Yeah. Yep. You can't stop it.
Another Russian site. I love it.
Get rid of, you know, face it. You can't stop it. They're just going to move to, like, Korea or something.
Because it's ethically and morally wrong to do what, you know, to do what the music recording industry and the movie industry is doing. If it weren't that way, people wouldn't work so damn hard to circumvent it. I wish they would just get it through their head, you know? The entire world is protesting by, you know, working around freaking DRM. Why don't they just change it so that it works?
Because they're afraid of losing money.
Yeah, well, that's
they're,
what it is.
They're afraid they won't make
one of those
much
Hawaiian
money.
Vacations a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's, you know, got to be watching that.
If they have to give up a Hawaiian vacation and they actually have to pay the artist, that would just suck too much for them. So it's much easier for them to suck more money out of everybody and pay their expensive lawyers to, you know, argue ridiculous cases and then pay off judges to let them win. Bastards.
Let's see if they have Metallica around there.
See, Ben on the IRC is telling everybody how much he loves Steve Jobs.
Oh, they got Metallica. I'm sure Lars is angry.
Oh, man.
Lars doesn't give a shit. He was just their patsy for that.
They have a lot of live albums, it looks like. Donington, Berlin, Holland. I'm just looking at what song selection they have. What albums? Well, they have the regular albums. $1.98 for the whole album.
Now that's a deal.
Yeah, sweet.
That's not a deal. That's a steal.
Yeah,
and it is. It is a steal.
But that's all that it's worth, really. If you're downloading it, that's all it's worth. I mean, there's no. Yeah, even if it was. Quote unquote,
don't have to pay media costs or anything like that. Yeah,
yeah. There's. I mean, what cost do you have there? You're hosting a server. You know, that's all the cost you have for that. It's not worth $19.95.
Don't tell me that you know you have to pay production costs on freaking an MP3 file.
Don't say that you have to pay the same amount of cost that you're charging for a CD in a store.
Certainly.
For something that's
well,
not
even
the
at
same
that,
quality.
You know, they, years and years now, they've been complaining about how the CDs are rip-offs. Like, they've never gone down in price, you know, ever.
Ever, I know, because I can remember when they first came out paying $19.99 for it.
Yes, indeed, and it's still that way today.
That last CD, that cake CD I bought 2 weekends ago, that was $19.99.
Right.
Right. Oh, they got Tim McGraw. Let it go. Mm-hmm.
And let it go, Pat. Let it go, please.
2:34. Time Tim McGraw.
Yeah, that's about right. And if you know, if they pay any of that money to the, if they pay any of that money at all to the actual artist, that's probably more than they get from. You know, more than they get from most of the recording industry sales anyway.
I still want to know how, like, a multi-million-dollar, multi-platinum artist goes on this mammoth tour and they still owe the record company money.
Right, because, you know, they're getting ripped off. See,
well,
not only does
it, really
see that's what
article.
I don't figure, right? Go ahead.
There was a real good article a while back in Salon.com on it. It was done by... Oh, shoot, now I can't remember her name.
Tracy Lords?
No. What was Kurt
Cobain's
Faith Hill? Wife's
Oh. She's in a whole celebrity
yeah.
skin.
Celebrity skin? What the hell was that?
That's the one of the songs off the album.
But anyway, she did a really good article on that broke down what kind of money she made from you know, the record companies and stuff.
Courtney Love.
Shit.
In between
Courtney
rehab.
Love, yeah. Yeah, in between rehab and stuff. But, you know, they don't make shit from touring it. And what ends up is when they do all the tours, is you know, that's just to pay back the money that they've initially been given. The way they work the books on there, man, they make money. The industry makes money regardless.
Sure, coming
whether
and
you,
going,
whether
right?
you make any money or not. I'll have to dig up where that article is. Let me see if I can find it. That was a couple years ago.
And when Alan says he's got to see whether he can find it, he's going through his filing cabinet, not on the internet. You hear him shuffling through papers.
When Dan says he's going to see if he can find it, he's looking through his trousers. Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. I just pour a little pepper down there and wait till it sneezes. Oh. What the hell?
Want to give Dave a call?
Does he want us to call him?
Yeah.
How do you know he wants us to call him?
Because I just talked to him.
He always wants us to call him.
Who's going to call him? Not me, said the little fishy.
Anybody
that has him on speed dial.
No, I don't.
Hey, honey.
You're the Dave fan there.
Link's got his number tattooed on his penis.
I am a Dave Yates fan.
You and the Linux chick are a big Dave Yates fans.
Yep.
Little do you know that it could be that Link is the Linux chick. I'm sorry, Linux chick. That was not
my
nice.
My alter ego.
That was not nice. I apologize.
Could be my alter ego. You never know.
When she said, how does the Linux chick know Dave is putting his wife to bed?
She's sitting outside the window.
Maybe the Linux chick is Dave's wife. You never know.
You never know.
I don't know.
So I noticed, according to the forum, that they tried to get the hash TLLTS show going, and it never went anywhere yet.
You know what it is? It's people finally figuring out what kind of pain in the ass it is to put this stuff together.
They couldn't get everybody's schedule on aligned a client, like a VoIP client to use.
Right. Well, not only that, but you can't. You know, you got to get everybody's schedule in a line, and
I don't want
to
hear the excuses.
To do it and find some kind of subject matter and all kinds of. It's a lot harder than people think it is until they finally start trying to do it. You know.
What I don't understand is, damn it, I can't.
Quantum physics.
No. What is Hellmark trying to say by Jennifer Love is a coked out grunge rocker, ex of the Nirvana lead man. The only Jennifer Love I know is Jennifer Love Hewitt, who has nothing to do with Kurt Cobain.
He means like Courtney Love.
Courtney
right?
Love is the coked out grunge rocker, ex of the Nirvana lead man. Jennifer Love Hewitt is a completely different person. I mean a completely different person.
A whole lot cleaner, yeah.
Well, you don't know that for a fact.
But she's hot.
But you can only think of, you know,
so round, so firm, so fully packed.
Oh, damn.
All right, I found
just
the
just a
article.
Minute. Just a minute. Hold that thought.
Why, Jesus.
There you go.
I don't need to hear that.
There's the article if anybody's
I don't
really,
even know,
and
I don't need to know what's
it.
Going on like that. I'm going to have nightmares. That's going to keep me awake the other 3 hours.
Here you go.
The hell's going on in your apartment complex, Dan?
Dude,
you're getting
don't,
shot?
No, I don't. I'll talk about that later. I'm saving that for a little bit later.
Doc, get down!
No gunplay. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Go ahead, Alan. I don't want to cut you off. Where's Dave Yates?
Yeah, what the hell?
Wait, I don't want to cut Alan off, but all of a sudden the topic changes to Dave Yates.
You want me to call him?
I gave the all I was going to say.
Well, where's the article?
I got him. I'll jump off. Hold on.
I posted it on the RFC.
Alan said hello. That's it. That's all you get from him. What the hell?
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Did Pat leave? Oh, yeah, he has to leave.
Yeah. He's got to leave and call Dave and do his little transfer magic thingy.
Transfer magic.
So here's why I want to know what you got cool for your birthday. And by the way, happy birthday on the air again.
Thank you. Actually, I got nothing, really.
No way.
Well, I'm saying, no, really. The one thing I'm going to be getting is, like I said, I got to get a helmet. I'm going helmet shopping next weekend probably on it, and I got to get the intercom put for the intercom inside the helmet set up. And that's all I'm really getting.
No nifty little, you know, new
no nifty little toys. No nifty little toys.
Something just wrong with that, man. You can't have a birthday without getting some little technological doohickey.
Yeah, there's just nothing that's been, like, grabbing me and saying, yeah, I gotta have it.
I think I hung up on Dave. Oh, there you are.
Here I am.
Okay.
How you
Dave. Hey, we're good, man. How you doing?
Dave!
Hey.
What's up, man?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Had a rough 5 days, but I'm doing all right.
Had a little accident, did you?
Yeah, between that and ruining my iRiver recorder today with a pocket full of chocolate, things gonna look
cool. Oh, man.
Yeah. But, I think the car's gonna cost about $6,000 to fix. Well, but that's the cost to repair. That won't be what it cost me, but it should be repairable, so that's good. And I don't have a bruise or a scratch on me, so that's good, too.
That's real good.
Great.
So what exactly happened, Dave?
For
those of us who haven't been present on your forums to find out.
Okay. I had just gotten on the last half of my commute, which is interstate, and it just merged into traffic and had been on the interstate for about a mile. It was 5:30 in the morning last Friday, and about the same time that I heard the grinding noise, I saw in my driver's side rearview mirror just the bright yellow non-blinking turn indicator of a transfer truck. It was just, you know, all over me, and best I can tell, he drifted over my lane, and his lug nuts just picked the sheet metal on my car and just grabbed it and twisted it off the body, so... Of course, it sent me out of control for the next quarter to half mile, probably. I really don't know what parts of the road I drove on, but I was able to keep it on pavement. I don't think I ever left the interstate. I was in the slow lane. There were no concrete barriers to bounce into. There was no cars to bounce into. And also, unfortunately, there was no cameras or eyewitnesses either, so... the cop found us both non-contributors. The guy who hit me immediately came out of his truck and came to me, to my window, and, you know, asked me if I was okay. Then he apologized for hitting me, and he apologized for hitting me probably two or three more times. But after four or five conversations with his boss, he evidently changed his story to the cop and said that you know, he was in his lane, and that's what I was saying. I was in my lane, so... this would go on my insurance. I have to file on my collision, I guess, but pay the deductible and get over it.
Bummer.
It, yeah.
Well, at least you're okay, you know.
Yeah. That's the happy ending part. But it was scary. I think if it was daylight, it would have been a whole lot scarier. But because it was dark, I guess the funny thing was is we had to call 911 back. Because after an hour, they still, no cops or anything had been out there.
I'm glad you weren't hurt at that point.
Yeah, I know. I lived on Advil for 4 or 5 days. I had, you know.
One of those deals where you call suicide prevention and they put you on hold, right?
Exactly. But, yeah, I just had muscle pain, but I'm fine. It was scary.
I'd have muscle pain. From that kind of accident, I'd have muscle pain, too. My entire ass would hurt because, you know, first you say it, then you do it.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll tell you what, after the one time I almost had a really nasty accident, sort of like that, I was on a motorcycle, and some old bat and her battleship ran me off the damn highway about 75 miles an hour into the median. And, the only thing, I can remember everything that happened in slow motion.
Yeah.
So I'm always interested to hear, when you had your accident, did the whole thing occur to you in slow motion, you know?
No, this is the second bad accident I've had in my life. The first one, I was a freshman in college, and I flipped the Mustang, and everything moved in slow motion. I remember seeing the windshield crack. I remember the guy sitting next to me in the passenger seat. He had his hand out the window, and when the car turned upside down, he said he remembers feeling dirt, so he pulled his hand in, and his hand wasn't crushed or anything. He had time to react, but I guess because his reaction time sped up, so... But I think because this was so dark, all I could really see was where my headlights were pointing at the time. It was more like being shown a slideshow of what was happening. That's why I never described it. I'm pointing this way, now I'm pointing that way, I'm pointing this way. You know, so really between the time I got hit and the time I got stopped, it was just like images. But I don't remember my reaction time speeding up, but at the same time, I don't know how I kept it on the road. So I mean, something happened. It's just amazing. The only word I know for it that and it could have been a whole lot worse. I mean, if it would have been a different time of day, if I'd been in a different lane, different stretch of the highway, if I'd hit another car, it could have been, you know, a nasty chain reaction kind of thing.
Sounds like you got someone looking out for you, man.
Yep.
It's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'd already, you know, gotten over that, and then I've ruined my... From my eye river today, being greedy with chocolate at work, I stuffed some in my pocket, and I went out. While my Honda's in the shop, I'm in my old '93 Chevrolet pickup truck, which has this huge bench seat, and I just lay down in it and take my hour nap during lunch. And when I got out, I noticed I had been laying against a pint of brake fluid, where the label had come off, and there was some kind of black carbon stuff, and I was dropping because I had, you know, black carbon stuff all over the back of my pants. And then when I got to work, I stuck my hand in my pocket and I pulled out the eye river, and it looked like something somebody, you know, in Jurassic Park where they find the giant dinosaur turd. It looked like somebody pulled it out of there. I got it home. I took it apart. I think the microphone's hosed. I mean, it still will play, but the volume's okay, but it records it like a quarter of a volume that it used to.
So and it smells and tastes great.
Yeah, it smells like peanut butter. See, that's the, it didn't look good, but it smells like peanut butter. But, yeah, it made this one woman at work sort of sick to her stomach when I pulled it out of my pocket, because it's exactly what it looked like. We ran out of toilet paper in the bathroom. It was nasty.
It looked like there's a hole in your pocket, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did. I bought an iAudio. Well, I think it's the one Aaron's got. It was U3. I bought one of those from Newegg. Put a rush delivery on it, so I should have it back soon. Hope I like it.
That's great, man.
Yeah. It's been an interesting week. Yeah, I checked out the weather program you were talking about. I don't have an answer enough like that. It's been on my list of things to get for about 5 years. It's some kind of FM weather antenna. And but since I had to break the news to my wife that I had to buy the new audio recorder, I couldn't, you know, I had to tuck her in kind of thing. I couldn't just say, I'm listening to the old, and let her go to bed, you know, mad, so did what I had to do.
Well, I figured you would be the one to ask those weather questions, because I know that you have... Yeah, you have that serious weather thing going on over there, yeah.
No, I've looked into that, but I just don't have the antenna yet.
Now, do you have a weather station set up at your house, man? Like with one of those one-wire setup things?
No, that's what I've been looking at. I got one of these cheap, you know, things you get at Walmart or wherever. Get the little transmitter on the front porch and one in the backyard, and it goes to this digital thing inside, and it's nothing. I mean, the main thing I do is on all my computers I have. It works for me because it's not like a constant feed of information is there if I need it. I use a GKRELLM, the plugin, the webcam plugin. And I just point, you know, I can point it to five different images and have them update every 60 seconds if I want to. That kind of thing. I got, you know, text based 10-day forecast, you know, one click away kind of thing. It's, you know, I don't track storms and stuff like that. I just like to know what the weather's going to be.
Yep. I used to use my uncle had this really nice Indian Weatherstone. You ever seen one of those?
Yeah, I have. I worked at a Boy Scout. We had one of those.
Yeah. That's the way to tell the weather right there. For those of you who have not seen them, it's a little triangular-shaped piece of wood with this, like, these sticks on it, like a teepee, and a hanging from the center of these sticks at the top is a rock. And the instructions are something like, this is an Indian weather stone.
It's raining.
That's right. If the rock is white, it's snowing, that kind of thing. The rock is rocking back and forth. It's windy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's right every damn time, though. It's amazing, I'll tell you. If you can't see the rock, it's dark out. Yep.
Because the rock's missing, and there's been a tidal wave.
That's right.
Yeah, have I enjoy the book, and I've talked about it some. And but I some of y'all may know I've gotten permission from the author to make an audio version of it. Somebody had done it before, but they had to take it down because of bandwidth. But it's a literary freeware. It's called Underground, and it's a book written by Sulet Dreyfus. It was written probably in the late 90s, but it's a true story of some of the first New Zealand. That's where the main group of them, but it goes more widely. I guess it's some of the first phone freakers that wrote some of the first, you know, went on to write some of the first computer viruses. It's a really good book that I've sort of turned into a podcast. I don't have the,
Who's beating up their mic?
I am. It's like loose and it's wiggling around on me. I gotta tighten it up.
Okay.
I've sort of done like I'm trying to upload episodes when my Libsyn account allows me to, but I think I've got 4 chapters up. Probably take me another 60 days to get the rest of them up, but I think that's something a lot of people would enjoy if they've not heard it.
Cool.
I can't remember the feed off the top of my head, but it's on my page someplace.
That helps out.
Yeah.
You should know this off the top of your head. I'm disappointed.
That Dan?
Of course it is. Your harshest critic. What happened?
Did I miss the apartment complex story you were going to tell? I had to leave the computer for a second.
No, I didn't tell it yet.
Okay. You going to hold off a while?
No, I'm not going to tell it because you want to hear it.
I won't listen. How about that?
What, you got a gang shootout in your parking lot, Dan?
No, I didn't have a gang shootout in my parking lot.
Yet.
No. Yet.
It's a gang something in his parking lot. That's what it is.
All right, I'll talk about it.
You're videotaping a gangbang in the parking lot.
That's not appropriate. I was sleeping out in the living room with the kids on the weekend, Saturday night. Went to bed watching a video. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard some guy yelling help. It woke me up. So I jumped up out of bed, you know, to my shorts, no t-shirt, didn't have my glasses on. And I peered through the window, well, the porch door, sliding glass door. And I saw this guy, from what I could see, because I didn't have my glasses on, this guy laying on the ground, and another person like over top of him. And I couldn't see what was going on, but the guy kept yelling, help, help. And I thought maybe somebody was like having a heart attack or something. So I quickly grabbed my shirt and glasses and ran out the door with my phone and down the steps. And by the time I got down the steps, I live on a second floor apartment. The steps are outside, so I run down the steps. And I'm out about 25 feet away from where this was all going on. The guy's not on the ground anymore. All I see is a guy stumbling around and this Korean woman kind of walking around the corner of the other apartment building. And at that time I had dialed 911 and they, got on the phone with me and I was talking to this dispatcher and I'm like, I said I woke up because somebody was screaming help. And I'm outside now, and all I see is this guy stumbling around and this Korean woman walking around the side of the apartment yelling. I can't understand what she's yelling, but I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And, you know, they had me on the phone and they were kept asking me questions and, you know, if I could see who else was around or who might have been the one yelling help, but I couldn't see anything. The guy kind of appeared like I thought he might have been drunk, because he was stumbling around, holding his arm, holding his head, and I wasn't sure whether somebody had gotten hurt, somebody, there was a domestic dispute or something, because like I said, it was weird that there was a Korean woman running around, an older lady, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, because I don't want to go over there and chance getting into some kind of altercation, and, you know, I'm sitting there worried that, you know, what happens if there's something goes on, and, you know, I got the kids upstairs, and you know, I'm all worried about it. So, long story short, the cops eventually show up, 911 lets me go, and tell me to go back to my apartment. So, I go back, it was really freaky. The next day, I go outside, and I see the guy who looks like, someone who looks like the guy that was stumbling around outside in a arm cast, and the Korean woman's out there with him. They're talking to one of our other neighbors. So I go up to him and I'm like, hey, you know, is everything okay? And basically what he had said to me was, he got out of his car that night around 2 a.m. and he was walking to his apartment, and this white guy in a uniform, or what was described looked like some kind of uniform, was walking the opposite direction. And as they passed, the guy said hi, and the guy in the uniform mumbled something, but when he had passed the guy said all of a sudden he just felt something stabbing him in the side, or jabbing him in the side, and it felt like electrical shocks, and it knocked him to the ground, and then the guy was over top of him hitting him, and as he was yelling help, the guy, I guess, apparently stole the money out of his top pocket while he was hitting him, and took off running when people started coming out. And he ran off down through the apartment complex, and the Korean woman, I think is either his girlfriend or his wife, chased after him a little bit, saw him go through the tennis court area, and she didn't follow him any further because she was concerned herself. So the guy suffered a broken wrist and some bruises, but was otherwise, you know, unharmed physically, which is a good thing that he wasn't, but it was a really, really freaky situation. And when you get put in a situation like that, I mean, it's really scary. You don't know what to do. You know, a couple weeks ago, there was a big article, a big to-do about an off-duty cop who became belligerent at a bar, and when the bartender, she cut him off, he proceeded to badmouth her and then physically assault her and beat her in front of a whole bunch of people at the bar, and nobody did anything until the cops
were. Yeah, I remember reading about that.
And, nice. You know, you sit there and you're like, man, how could people let that happen? But when you get put in that situation and you're like, you don't know exactly what's going on, and you think, mm-hmm. you know, should I get involved? Or,
yeah.
you know, what can you actually do? Am I going to get hurt if I get involved? What about my family? You know, what do you do? What about myself?
You know what? I have a similar situation happened to me last year. My wife, I should have had my wife tell you about this because she's still pissed at me, right? We were driving, and really, we were driving to work in the morning. You know, I got to be work at 7 o'clock in the morning, right? So 6:30 in the morning, I'm driving to work in the morning, and right by, like, the entrance ramp to the highway that I get in to drive to work, all the cars are stopped, right? And they're all pulled over the side of the road and shit. And I look up, like, four cars ahead of me, and there's this what looks like a couple, you know, a man and a woman running around in the middle of the road. Like, and my initial reaction was, like, these guys are on crack or something, okay? And like, the guy is half naked, okay? His shirt has been ripped off of him, just hanging off of him. And they're both chasing each other around. And the guy is the size, and I shit you not, this guy is the size of Refrigerator Perry. He's one of the biggest black guys I've ever seen in my life, okay? And he's chasing this woman around who is really good size herself, you know? Like, they dwarf me. I'm a little short, fat guy. These guys got a foot on me easy, you know? Both of them. And they're arguing and fighting and shoving each other and crap like that. And everybody's just pulled off to the side of the road, you know, and they're watching it like it's some kind of circus event. So I pull off the side of the road behind him, and I'm watching, right? Not really. I pull off the side of the road, and the first thing I do is I grab my phone, and I call 911, and I tell them, you know, I tell them they better get a sheriff or somebody there because these guys are killing each other on the middle of the road. And they're, like, fighting each other, and I can't sit there and watch this stuff. And so I get out of the car, and as I'm getting out of the car, there's one guy in a truck that's coming from the other direction who pulls in, you know, about the same place in traffic that I was on the other side. And he's getting out of his truck, and we both run up there. The only two people in the whole damn world that are getting out of their car both run up to these, you know, Refrigerator Perry and his wife and tell him, you know, you better cut that shit out. We just called the cops, you know. Cut the fight now. Don't, you know, don't be beating on each other or whatever the hell it is you're doing. And my wife is flipping out because, you know, she's got the same concerns that you did, Dan. You know, what if you get her? My wife says, well, what if they pull out a knife or a gun or spinning game at you? And, you know, I didn't even think of it at the time. I just thought, you know, this guy's going to beat the hell out of this woman or something. And that was all that was going through my head. So I'm jumping out and I'm getting in between them and tell them they better knock it the hell off and leave each other alone. The cops are on their way. And the guy turns to me after all of this, and he says, man, I've been trying to get her to leave me the hell alone. See, evidently, this woman is, like, flipped out and ripped his shirt off and stuff like that. She's trying to kill him, you know? But it was really funny at the end of it to find out that, it was his wife that was all pissed at him and beating the hell out of him. But for sure, I thought it was the other way around when I got involved in it. But, yeah, I did the same thing, and I ran over and stuck myself in between them and got all involved in all this crap. And my wife hated me for it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and she still brings it up. You know, what if somebody beat your ass up or something while you're out there? And, you know, sometimes it didn't even occur to me. But it's the same way when when I've done the things and like occasionally I'll go on ministry trips down in New York City, and I'll go down in sections of town where people that look like me just don't go. And you know, I've never had any problems. It's amazing that you would, as far as that goes, it's amazing that if you you give a gang banger or a drug addict or something a sandwich, you know, they love you for life. Sandwich and a change of clothes or something. Some of the poverty down there is incredible. But, it really is it's a kind of a testament to your person, Dan, that you ran out and got involved. That's pretty cool. You know? Where was it going with this? I don't know. Nobody cares.
At least you didn't get shot or stabbed.
Story to tell
yeah.
I went to school with Refrigerator Perry. He was at
what's
Clemson.
What's that? I was. You went to school with Refrigerator Perry?
Clemson? I was the student there the same time he was. He used to.
Awesome.
I was probably 119 pounds, and he was about 340.
Yep, that's what this guy was like, man. I'm telling you, it was like looking into the expanse. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a pretty good-sized guy myself. I mean, I'm short, but I'm pretty good-sized. And this guy had me like, you know, like he could have rolled me up and had me as a donut, you know? He was just big.
So they didn't get the guy there? Dan's still there.
I think he dropped off. Okay. Running to the toilet again.
Must be. Potty break. Link's talking, huh? Everybody, a good potty break.
Beating of the
that's the way it works. Break. See, I know. I got you guys' number. I know that's how it works. I start talking, and everybody's like, all right, I got time to make a sandwich.
Disappears, go
right?
Get a beer.
Uh-huh. Okay. I see how it is. See, you would do that with Alan, too, but Alan just says, hey, and that's it, as long as you get.
Yeah, you don't get enough time to do that with me. Actually, I did post on the admin channel there that 420 is the opening of that of the new CI store.
Yeah,
that you pass every day.
We're gonna have to go there.
5,000 square feet, man. Cigars.
Is it a giant humidor?
You know what? I just looked at it the other day. Oh, I'm sure they'll have a giant walk-in. The whole store will be a walk-in humidor, right?
I was going to say, yeah, probably they'll do the same as they do at the downtown store where it's the whole store is a walk-in.
But I'll tell you what, I just passed, I made a point to look at it the other day as I was driving past, because usually I'm sleeping, you know, back and forth. It's that autopilot thing. But I made it a point to pay attention. I was going past the other day, and they had taken the building that they put it in was like, I don't know, this dilapidated old piece of crap building. But they cleaned it up really nice, and they refaced it and everything, and it looks really, really nice. I can't wait to go in there and check it out.
Well, they must be making some good money, because I remember reading the article. I think they dropped like $50,000 in that the Bethlehem Club in that room to make the cigar room in that place. That's a lot of money to refurbish a room.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's 5,000 square feet cigar store.
That's what I remember reading. Well, let me find the article again.
It's a big joint over there. It's a big building. And that's just the store. Like, they own warehouse property somewhere in Bethlehem, too. So apparently they make good business, you know?
Come on.
But I'd be excited to go over there and check the place out.
I was at a cigar
I'm sure the store. Idea is... What's that?
I said I was at a cigar store in the Dominican Republic earlier this month. And I don't know. You know, I don't know my way about a cigar store. I've had, you know, Macanudos or, you know, I can't even name the ones I've had because I forget them. I don't know something else. But I saw something that struck me as funny. There was the last place I would think to see it is in Dominican Republic. There was a half-chewed pack of Red Man chewing tobacco. Somebody left on the shelf. I don't know if they just gave it up in there and just chose cigars or what. But.
Chewing tobacco is the most disgusting.
You asked them how much it was, right,
I've ever
Dave?
Seen. It's awful, they man.
They wanted $4 for a cigarette lighter, so I knew a half chew pack of chewing tobacco would be expensive.
When I was in college, I remember some of the guys in the fraternity used to chew tobacco, man. They sit there and just spit all day. It's the most disgusting thing.
Oh, yeah, that's an attractive habit right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't find where I heard that, but I think it was like 5,000 square feet.
But now, Dave, you got to go over there, and you're looking for the cigars that say Producto de Cuba.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah, if you can find those around anywhere.
Oh, they'll have them there. You can get them there. You can get them in Canada. Can't get them in the United States unless you're the president, though. You know?
Yeah, in the Dominican Republic, you can get them there. I work with a guy from Nicaragua, and y'all probably know this, but I think most of the, I don't know, I'm going to show my ignorance, Venezuelan and Nicaraguan cigars and stuff are Cuban refugees who took the seeds with them when they left, I think. But
yep, absolutely, yeah. Man. Same with Honduras.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dominican Republic, they all went to all mm-hmm. those places. Miami.
Cuba would be a nice place.
Miami.
Miami,
Cuba, same thing.
Yeah.
Orlando. Same where there, too. I'm not kidding.
Now, you know, of course, when I want to find that article, I can't find it. Oh, well.
Yep.
We shall have to wait for 2 weeks and find it. And
right.
Go there.
For the non-cigar aficionado, what's good?
There's a brand called Acids. Like, a lot of people like these really heavy... real tobacco-y tasting cigars, and I like flavored cigars. The ones I like are called Acids, and they're very aromatic kind of cigars, and they're really, really good. I guess that's, you know, if you're not a real cigar aficionado and you want something to try just for shits and giggles, give one of them a try. I really like them. Good quality, aromatic flavored cigar.
Okay. I
like Macanudos, Partagas, Nat Shermans.
I'd say Nat Shermans are pretty good. They're a mild cigar.
Yeah.
I like the mild ones. The Macanudos I've had have been a little strong for my taste.
The Nats you'd probably like. The Nat
What's
Shermans.
That?
Nat okay. Shermans you'd probably like then. You're looking for a mild cigar. Yeah, Cohibas, there you go.
Yeah, a lot of those ones that they
definitely
Cohibas, they're fake, man. They're not real, a lot of them. You gotta be very careful with that.
If you're not a you know, longtime cigar smoker, and my advice to you would be not to go in and pick something real heavy up. You know, like when you go in looking for a cigar to try, make sure you tell the person at the counter that you want a mild cigar. Because, if, you know, you get one of those dark wrappered ones.
Oh, yeah, those black ones. Yeah.
Start puffing away on one of them suckers, and you're not prepared, you will be puking on your sneakers, buddy. I'm telling you.
That's the strong ones, I mean. The best one I've ever had was the fellow I work with from Nicaragua. He gave me one. I don't know if it was Waylon or Honduran or where it was from. It was good, and I don't remember the name. I told my wife I was getting enough gray hair and getting the age where I think I should start smoking a pipe.
Well, you can do the pipe. Yeah, Romeo and Juliet is a pretty good.
Yeah, I've had that.
So this has been another episode of Cigar Weekly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say, you, a lot of us at the tech show, we smoke an occasional cigar once in a while. So, you know, one of the things I'm always looking for is I'm trying to find a cigar company that will sponsor us so that when we go to things like the Ohio Linux Fest and stuff, we have a box to bring along and hand out to people. So
that
if you happen to have, yeah, if you happen to have a local cigar shop that you visit on occasion, you might want to drop them a note and see if they would be interested in having some kind of a sponsorship with our show. You know, we'd be happy to do something like that. I can't always chase these people down. Tried a couple of times. There's another place over here that I'm looking at too, but I just haven't gotten around to doing any demographic crap yet. But if you happen to run into a store and make mention of it and they're interested, please let us know. That would be really cool. And there's your public service announcement for today.
It's everyone's homework now.
A non-cigar related topic. I put Debian Edge on my PowerPC. Took Ubuntu off of it since they're not going to support the PowerPC architecture officially anymore. I just put Edge on it.
Yeah, and Debian rocks on there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I like that. But this, it's, I don't know how to describe it. It seems more if not integrated. It seems, I probably mentioned this before on my last podcast or something, but it seems like it this is, you know, you put Etch on a machine, and it seems more like a Debian box than past distributions have. Now, that probably didn't make any sense, but it just integrated the splash screens, the wallpapers, I mean, little stuff, the
right.
Screen saver, you know, all that, they're all Debian-related or whatever. But other than that, it's just really polished. I mean, it looks nice.
Yes, it does. It works quite well.
And it's
I have one on my iMac.
Yeah, I think it's faster than, it seems faster than Ubuntu did. Maybe a little. But did you ever put Ubuntu on that Spark Pizza Box link or not? What did you
nope,
do
not
with
yet.
It?
Not yet. I still have the Ultra 2 hanging out in my closet.
I almost drove 150 miles to Columbia, South Carolina, to pick up 3 Spark Ultra 2s that somebody was giving away. They mentioned it on the Lug mailing list, and I almost drove down there and got them, but I figured I don't have room for them. I moved all my computers upstairs, and I don't have an attic, so it's just the sun's, you know, beating on the roof, and then there's living space underneath. And where my computers were before was the north side of the house and the bottom floor, so it didn't get a lot of sun, so. But that room upstairs is like 105 degrees. So my wife's telling me, you got to cut them computers off at night. I'm looking at her like she's from Mars. You know, you don't cut them off at night. You buy a window unit air conditioner. You know? Don't cut them off.
Right. Exactly.
But if I brought 3 more in, she would pitch a fit. So I didn't do it.
Yeah, well, see, that's where you get the really thin sparks. And you cram them all inside one PC case, see? And then It's just one computer then. They don't have to know that they're...
I didn't think of it. I'm glad I talked to you tonight.
it's SMP, right?
Yeah.
It's your own little, you know...
Yeah, I don't know when this spark I got is going to bite the dust. I've had it since, I don't know, I've had it 6 or 7 years, and it's just been chugging along in my server, and it just... One day it's gone. I back it up every day, but I don't have really another machine to put it on if it ever fails. But it runs nonstop. It's just a great machine.
Oh, they are. They're great. As long as you have a decent hard drive in them, they just run forever. See, that was a problem with mine. I had a Spark Ultra 1 over here with flaky hard drive. So, and I don't have any SCSI drives to replace it with. And I just don't have time to dig to get one. So there it sets, you know, off. Now I'm running a cheap commodity piece of crap. My father-in-law, in fact, his old PC, after he upgraded, he got rid of his old 800 megahertz PC and threw it at me. So I grabbed it and I have it running over here, running Arch Linux, and it's my file server and a whole bunch of other servers, too. But.
Yeah,
otherwise everything would be running on Ultra 1.
Yeah, when that one dies, I'll probably just let somebody else host my website or something. I don't know. I've always hosted it, and I hear people
talk
about it.
That's just crazy talk.
Well, it's sort of nice, I guess, having your own server, web server, and also not having it. I do all the web work for my church's web page, and it's on a, I don't know the term. It's just on a managed server, or one that I get access to, kind of thing. But that it's nice. I mean, because somebody else worries about keeping it running, but I don't know. I probably got another Ultra Spark too. To replace it with.
Dum 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 dum. What are you running on that Spark? Ubuntu, Debian, what?
Debian. Sarge.
You don't know what Ubuntu running like on it either.
I thought about it, but. It's funny to me, Debian's thinking about dropping Spark, or they were thinking about it, but I can understand Ubuntu dropping PPC, but I just wonder how long they're going to hold on to Spark, but don't know.
Well, there's still a lot of old Spark machines running around, you know?
Yeah, well, there's a gob of power PCs laying around, too, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine I've got one of them.
Why would you want to run a PPC, man? Because Steve Jobs says, you don't want to be on that architecture anymore.
No, you got to move forward. Yeah. But if I got it, I want to use it.
Onward and upward, right?
When you're working on a budget, you use what you get.
I know.
They make, this is so very
some
true.
Some of them, machines make great...
I'm just being a ball buster, that's all.
Though, you know? One of those you never really think that, it's odd. You never really think that that old Intel boxes make good servers, even though they actually do. But everybody knows that, old Spark boxes and old PPC boxes make excellent servers, right?
Oh,
stick
yeah.
a little Linux on them or something like that, and good Lord, they just run forever. Especially that kind of hardware, with Spark boxes, you're looking at almost enterprise hardware, so it runs really, really well for a really long time. And, PPC hardware is a lot more high end than the old Intel or the same era Intel hardware. So that runs really good for a long time too. And I always advocate, if you see one of those boxes, someone's trying to get rid of for cheap because it doesn't run like the latest Mac OS X or whatever, pick it up and slap Linux on it or something. They make awesome servers. Neato stuff. And I still want a... I told you I want a G5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're awesome. And I still want a cube.
Yes, that's the other one I want to put in my collection.
I don't care how freaking slow they are anymore now. I think they're awesome. I want a cube. I have to have one. One day, I will have a cube sitting on my desk.
Let's go check our friend eBay.
Yeah, usually like $500, right? Something like that for a 400 megahertz cube. But they're really neat. You know, it's a completely silent computer running like 400 or 500 megahertz. Hey, that's right up my alley. You know.
Well, here's an untested one for $20.
That's probably all it's worth.
It doesn't have a power supply,
Kleenex
though.
Kleenex box holder.
And no hard drive or anything. Nothing inside of it.
Yeah, right. So there's nothing in it but the acrylic, right?
No, well, it says no memory, no hard drive. So it's just a board.
You can turn that into a MIPS TV appliance. I mean, is there room for a PVR card in there or what?
That I don't know for sure. I don't think I've actually ever seen the inside of one. Inside pictures of one, I should say.
Yeah, they're small, so I just don't know what you can get in there.
Oh, here we go. Here's a complete system for you, Link. It is 15-inch screen with the AirPort 20-gig drive, G4 Cube, 325.
Not bad. See, there you go.
Plus 50 bucks for shipping.
I'll put that on my wish list, and you can pick it right up for me.
It's got OS X already on it. Looks
I would
nice.
Love to have one of them sitting on my desk.
Speakers and everything.
My wife uses a 450 megahertz G4. Well, it's in a blue and white tower case, but it's a 450 megahertz G4 now for her computer. You know, my wife. We already had this discussion about my wife being the Linux killer. Any PC computer, she just completely wipes it in a month. So she's been using this G4, and you know she's been using it all along. There's a couple quirks with it that she's tried to kill it with, but she's been using it right along. It's a great computer; it's been running the whole time, and it's probably the same speed or awful close to what a cube would be. So
yeah, that's the Mac I got. It's the G4 Tower, blue and white Tower, 450. The same one I got.
There you go. They're nice. That's a nice computer.
Yeah.
Nice system. And of course, she's running, OS X on it, and you're not, but still, it's still nice.
I was, but I'm not anymore.
Here's one with a 17-inch studio display.
Ooh.
There you go.
Ooh.
That's actually looks really nice with the studio one.
$3,000?
Those are pretty displays.
No, it's still got 4 days on it, but he's asking $210 for it. Ask him. I'll get my English right. $210 with the display.
Nice.
Time to get your butt over to eBay, dude.
Yeah, but is that like a buy it now price, or that's just a starting bid and it's got 2 days to go and it's going to go up to $900?
It's got 4 days to go, yeah. That's the current bid right now.
There you go, yeah. That's the difference right there.
Is Dell going to do anything or not? They're still making noise. I mean, do y'all care ultimately, or?
It's all talk until you actually see something tangible.
Yeah.
Waiting for the fat lady to sing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had the last Dell that I had was Inspiron 7000, I think it was. This thing weighed about freaking 15 pounds, man. It was just such a brick. I mean, it was a decent machine at the time. I think it was like a 500 megahertz machine. That was the last Dell that I owned. I mean, I know a lot of people love the laptops and they swear by them. I don't know.
I've had three used Dell laptops in the past, and they all ran, damn small Linux, or I think I ran the XFLD. It's an XFCE-based distro on there. I think I ran Debian on one of them, and they all ran fine. But I just, Just wondering if they you know, they're making a lot of noise. I just don't know if they're going to do anything about it. Hope so. It'd be good.
We'll find out.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I hope they do, too. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be a good thing.
But whether or not it's really going to happen?
The click and run's supposed to roll out with 5G, right? Is that what they're saying?
I don't think it's coming out with the release of 5G. What it is Linspire is going to release it later on, and then you'll be able to pull it down from the repos when it's available. It's supposed to happen pretty soon, within a month or two, I think.
Hey, Link, here you go. You can get 2 cubes. Buy it now for $450.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at that. Why don't you get it now? I'll pay you half there. Huh? Go ahead. Pick it right up for me, Alan.
I don't have an account over on eBay, actually. I'd have to wake up my wife to do it.
Well, now would be a good time to do it. Wake up the wife to do it? Why? To get an account on eBay?
Because she has the account. Well, she has an account already. So I make her pay for it.
You mean for PayPal or something? Oh.
Make her pay for it.
Make her ass up. I'll pay you half.
Speaking of waking up the wife, I probably should know better than to tell this story, but everybody that I know in the real world knows it already. My wife paid for it. She told everybody. I don't like my... I don't scream and stuff like that like a little girl, but I just don't like it, especially in my house. That's why I have 4 cats. That's why I feed them half the food they deserve. I think they ought to be my mouth chewing machine. But I guess it was last Wednesday, maybe. I was walking up the stairs up to the second floor. Everybody was in bed, and I got to the top step. And I looked down, and I'm barefoot, and there's what appears to be the biggest cockroach I've ever seen in my life. But it's not moving like a cockroach. So I cut on the light, and I'm like, I don't scream, I don't act like a girl or nothing, but I back down the steps, and I go sit down. around the corner stairs waiting for this mouse to come down and get out of my way. Because, you know, in my world perspective, I don't want to walk by this mouse twice. He'll get out of my way, I'll pretend I didn't think. But I sat there for like 20 minutes waiting for the mouse to come out of there. And I go back around the corner from the light, and the mouse is halfway down the stairs. It's about the size of, I guess it's half the size of a big cigarette lighter. The baby mouse, and it squeaked at me, and I still don't freak out her, even though I don't like my, I'm opposed to this one. But I'm sitting there looking at this mouse, and it's 2 foot away from me, it's, you know, eye level with me, about 4 steps or so. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Am I going to kill it? Am I going to smash it with a shoe? Am I going to, it was small enough that I actually thought about getting a plate, cheese, or a cake, cover dish or something, and crashing. And I'm walking back to the laundry room, to find something to get this mouse with, and I see my cell phone charging. It's on a table charging up. I just tell my wife, but she's not here. I woke her up and scared her to death, and I said, you know, I said this is, I had to tell her who I was. I said, I'm downstairs and there's a mouse on my bed. So, and I should not be telling this story. And she comes out and I helped a little, but we got the mouse and we took it outside and did it to the cat.
My sides are hurting.
Do what?
My sides are hurting, man.
I know, I shouldn't have told that. But I told some people at work, I said, you know, I would have no problem. I have no problem telling this story, you know, for two reasons. One is I know for a fact I've killed more spiders than any 40-year-old man on the face of the earth. My wife, she won't move if there's a spider. I mean, my first job out of college, I worked long hours, and I'd get home at 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, there would be my wife frozen on the couch. And I'd say, how long you know, she said 2 hours. She's pulling the thing. So, you know, I had no problem asking her to kill it because Jesus returned in the faith.
Oh,
and I would you know, put... I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I would put 2 snakes under the house in addition to my 4 cats if I didn't know that having 3 screaming girls was worse than having a 40-year-old man wake his wife up and kill him. No snakes. I'm just going to have to rely on her to kill him.
You know, it's worse than that is you mentioned spiders. And I have a friend of mine. He's a big, burly guy. I mean, you know, big, burly truck driver kind of guy. You know the type, right? 300-some-odd pounds, and it's all muscle, including his head. And Alan knows him. Yeah. My buddy Carl. Anyway, Carl has... it's funny that you know, you have this mouse phobia. Carl has arachnophobia, like your wife, and he hates spiders. And it's funny as hell because the guy's, you know, 6 foot tall and 300 some odd pounds, and I've actually heard him scream like a squirrel, like a schoolgirl, when a spider crawls in front of him, you know.
Yeah, I'm not
hysterical, man. That's what it reminds me of.
I have no excuse because I didn't wake up my wife to kill it, but I didn't scream. And I didn't take off all my clothes and run around in a circle or nothing weird like that. And I remained composed. But, I've got a little bit of acreage, you know, I've got a field behind my house. I pull dead rats out of the pool skimmer during the summer, you know, and I don't like doing that, but I'll do it. I'll touch them. I just don't want them in my house. I just imagine the things, you know, getting in your clothes or something.
Well, here's my story just for you, Dave.
Okay.
Back when I lived in Columbus, this is no lie, ask my wife. Back when I lived in Columbus, right before I got married, we lived in the projects in Columbus. Gorkon, he's on there. He knows where I'm talking about. Anyway, we had a mouse infestation in our house. Yep. We had a mouse infestation in our house, and one night I woke up because it was really, really hot. You know, I was poor then. I didn't even have an air conditioner. Like, it was hot, okay? And I woke up because I felt something tickling my chest.
Oh.
And you know, I thought it was sweat. You know what I mean? You know, like when you're sweating and you're sleeping and it rolls down, it kind of tickles you. And I thought that's what it was. And I stuck my hand up on my chest to wipe my chest up, and it was a mouse. And my instant reaction was to grab it and crush it. So I just grabbed it and crushed it to death right there with my hand on my chest.
Your head, crush, crush, crush. Yeah,
seriously, man, it was really disgusting. My wife was totally grossed out, like couldn't even sleep the rest of the night. And here I am holding this, you know, holding this pile of liquefied mouse in my hand. But that's a story just for you, David. You would appreciate that.
Well, better a mouse than a rat. You know, my girls look at me, you know, they're 5 and 10, like I'm crazy when I come in the house and say, smell that. They say, what is it? It's a dead rat. I said, ain't a better smell in the whole world. Get the poison out. I was opening up the air conditioning turn inside in the hallway, and before I did, I banged on it, and I said, ah, rats, get out of there, in case there were any in there. And my 5-year-old girl runs around the corner and says, where's the rat? Said, Danny, just like, you got to be talking to one. You must have seen one, but at least you know I was just trying to, you know, scare them away if they were there.
Mm-hmm.
I should have shut up before I started the story.
That's funny. Well, on the IRC, everybody's calling me Rat Killer, though. Right? Rat Killer. Rat Killer. It's just one of them things you do. You know, it's instinct. I felt something crawling on me and grabbed it and squished the shit out of it. That's it. What are you going to do, you know, in a pitch black in the middle of the night?
When he goes camping down at the shore.
They didn't shit in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Paper bag.
Funny. When we used to go camping down at the shore, we used to go to Indian River Inlet, and there was a lot of rats down there in the rocks and everything. They were rats the size of, like, house cats. These were huge rats. And I thought it would be cool to sleep outside underneath the camper awning one night. And I was laying there in a lawn chair sleeping. And I woke up to a rat in my hand, a big rat. And it just it took off as soon as I woke up. And the next morning I looked around and there was all these rat tracks around where I was sleeping. So, needless to say, I didn't spend too many more nights sleeping out there like that.
They decided it was too funny, so they just all ran away.
Well,
they were getting cozy with you, Dan.
Yeah. Rats. But I...
You probably farted and, you know, ruined the whole thing for them.
I did want to talk about one more thing. And not to bring the show down, but, I mean...
You're bringing us down, Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to bring everybody down in just a minute. But I'm, you know, I'm pretty open, honest guy, and it's eventually going to have to come out somewhere. And because it is going to affect the show or my participation in the show. The wife and I are having marital issues. And, you know, long story short, I'm not going to go into all the details, but she said she needs some space to figure out her head and what's going on. So she moved out on Friday night, which, if you ever went through something like this, it is fucking pure hell. And, you know, it really, and it just, it was a shock and blew me out of the water. And, it's really fucking tough, but, you know, doing everything I can in my power to try and, you know, help her through this and work this out. And I don't know if I'm going to be here. I mean, I'm going to be here to at least get the show started. But I, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be here on the show as much as I want to be. Because I gotta work these things out. And anyway, I do want to say one thing, though, about this. With it being really tough, and I want to really thank Link for being there this past weekend and helping me out through some tough times.
Man.
And I know a lot of times people think he's a gruff ass and everything, but, you know, it's far from the truth. I mean, he's a real stand-up guy, and I really, 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 really appreciate that. And thank you so much.
No problem, man. Anytime, like I said, I'll help anytime.
And, you know, all the everybody else who's, you know, thank you guys for your support. And I'm hoping...
Is there anything we could do, Dan? Just let us know, man.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, really.
This is probably going to be a long, long, long thing, and I don't know... I can't look that far into the future. All I can think about is, you know, tomorrow, today and tomorrow. But, you know, I'm trying to carry hope in everything that's going to work out. We got therapy. We got a lot of work. And she's got a lot of work that she needs to do. And I got a lot of work I need to do. So that's what I wanted to say. The show ain't over.
Well, the good thing about it is that you are working on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it really just drags you down and drains you of everything that you have. It's tough. It is tough. But, you know, we're really... The big thing is we're really concerned about the kids and everything, and we're trying to keep it as stable as possible for them. You know, as stable as stable can be in this chaotic, you know, period in our lives. But they're doing okay. You know, they're with me, and, you know, keeping strong for them, so keeping it consistent. And that's one of the reasons why it's going to be hard for me to be on the show. So she was over this evening. We had dinner, and she said that she'll be here to, you know, take care of the kids while the show's on. But, you know, there's other things that are going on and need to handle that too. So I appreciate your patience, and, you know, thank you guys for stepping up to the plate and carrying on with the show.
Not a problem, man.
Glad to help, Dan.
Thank you. And I'll, you know, keep you guys posted, but I don't expect any big results for a while. Anyway, is there anything else?
That's it. I think we're we're going over our time. Yeah, do we have any music for tonight?
Yeah, I have music. I have a song. I found this on Songfight again. It's Shale Riley. No, it's not bad at all. Trust me, I've listened this many times. It is safe for work, and my kids have listened to it. It's not bad. It's a cute little song. I liked it. It's called Couldn't Have Been Worse. Actually, it's kind of fitting for my life right now, but anyway. Here we go. Shale Riley, thanks a lot. Pat, any shouts that you want to give out or say anything about next week?
We're talking to Warren from Memphis.
So everybody do your Memphis install before next week so we can all talk to Warren about it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, and here it is. Couldn't have been worse.
Good night, everybody.
Paint your fine ass. Yeah, with my tongue brush. shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
It's over.